due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
And when Braun Strowman looked at me, he saw the truth. I am and will always be Raw's only monster.
This is Kane from WWE on 1280 WHTK, Rochester's Sports Talk.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, welcome to the Pain Clinic for October 28th. The last Pain Clinic of October 2017. Holidays today, real quick, it's Make a Difference Day, which is the fourth Saturday of the month. Neighbors helping neighbors. And of course, today is also Plush Animal Lovers Day.
Like furries or...
I mean, originally it probably started as just stuffed animals, but now, yeah, it totally means something different.
Well, if you're into plush animals, today's your day if you love them especially. So welcome to the Pain Clinic.
I blame Chuck E. Cheese for starting it all.
Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah. It's definitely Chuck E. Cheese.
About the giant monsters. I mean, giant animated things in there.
No, not anymore. They're getting rid of them, so.
Okay. And the kids love rats, right? I mean, Chuck E. Cheese is a giant rat, right? I think he is.
Yeah,
he's a rat. Okay. Nevertheless,
he's a mouse.
Yeah, he's, I don't know. It's a fine line between a rat and a mouse. Just ask Disney.
Hard-hitting journalism today on the Pain Clinic.
Yeah. The Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvador.
Asking those questions you always wanted to know.
It's 9 o'clock. Is anybody ready for this? I guess we have to be, but thank you so much for listening. The Pain Clinic is brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire. Culver, join us a week from today for UFC 217. Salvatore's Saloon. And Salvatore's at the garage door, 149 East Ridge Road. Three championship fights on the card. Do not miss it. 10 p.m. start time. Get there early. Hosted by us. Specials all night long. That's 1 week from today, November 4th. Salvatore's Saloon and Salvatore's at the garage door, UFC 217. Interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join the Rock City Roller Derby. Hey, welcome to the show today. I am the Cash Man. I am joined by DC Dan Cole.
Good morning.
And Danger Boy.
Good morning.
And we are doing the Facebook Live thing again. So if you, I think I want to do this just because some people can't really listen to the show live. The only way they get it is through the iTunes, but this gives them an opportunity to listen live. They can also call in at 222-1280 if they want.
585 in front of that.
Yeah, if you're outside the area code.
You especially want to be watching when WWE and John Cena send Danger Boy a cease and desist for his new tattoo.
Uh-oh. I hate you all.
Yeah. Danger Boy, show your tattoo again to the camera. Well, we got a second here. You have to be online watching, folks. Just do it. There, right there. Okay, he's got this. It's from his shoulder to his elbow. It's
called a half sleeve.
It says never give up on it, and it's blue, and then
there's no blue, which he, air quotes, totally didn't realize was John Cena's thing when he was having it done at the time.
Well, Sean.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't think about John Cena while someone's stabbing me with a needle.
I guess I wouldn't either, but I don't think about
Nikki Bella.
Think of Nikki Bella, it might get you through it. But, well, welcome to the show. I'm the Cash Man. I think I already said that. We're here to talk to the world of pro wrestling. And like I said, you can participate. You can watch us on live on Facebook Live. I got the camera propped up in there. I don't have a cameraman this week, but we're going to talk about, we've had a lot of crazy things happening this past week, but I might as well start.
Can we start with murder?
Murder was there? Oh yes, there was murder on a pay-per-view last weekend. Well, I mean, it was, I don't know. Do you think that giant claw thing would kill somebody? Yeah, I guess
if you're fully compacted in there.
Yeah, that's true.
And you're 6'8", 400 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, yeah, it probably would. So we're going to talk a little bit about the tables, ladders, and chair pay-per-view and the special treat we got. Might as well start right off the top with it. But I will say, if you want to comment or question, 222-1280, star 1280. Let's talk about the pay-per-view. Thoughts on it. I will start by saying this. Something that really stood out to me was, and if you just count the matches and how they went, we had a women's match, we had a cruiserweight match, we had a women's match, we had a cruiserweight match. It was like that, those first four matches, and I'm going to the pre-show too with a women's match. So it was, I mean, and listen, the cruiserweights were great. I enjoyed those matches and everything. They really, you know, hyped up everything, but it's like, I was trying to figure out where the original pay-per-view lineup went, disappeared to when it restarted, and it never really, I mean, there was some stuff in there, but overall, it was not, I don't know if it was really a balanced pay-per-view. What do you guys think?
I think they ruined the Asuka debut. I mean, I don't count the pre-show matches. That match was too long anyways, and I don't know why Alicia Fox is on my TV. But, you know, you start with Asuka. Everyone's hyped up for Asuka that knows who she is, and they've been playing these great, you know, Asuka's going to kill you promos and building her up, and then you have a 10-minute match with Emma where it was back and forth and back and forth, and she didn't do all of her cool stuff. And, you know, it's great. Emma can go. It's fun to watch, but that's not what you're expecting to see. That's not what I wanted to see. I mean,
Do you think that Asuka should have crushed her and
yes.
made a very short match? Now, that's the same way I feel about Aleister Black when he debuted in NXT and they went like a 40-minute match or whatever. You know,
well, that wasn't. I mean, it wasn't 40 minutes. It was like 15.
Okay, but it seemed.
But if you also notice, the guy he fought is fighting for the title on the next takeover.
Okay. That's true. But I mean, I'm just saying,
it's not Emma.
You hype up these characters and then you expect them to squash, you know what I mean? And I definitely expected that to be a squash. And when she started selling for Emma in that match, and there's a period where she sold for her for, you know, way over like 5 minutes straight in that match. It was
Asuka's had matches that were longer down in NXT where she sold, but it was like against Nia Jax or Bayley, not against Emma, who they're playing up as just a social media darling, not that much of an accomplished wrestler.
Yeah.
Even though she can go.
Oh, yeah, obviously. I mean, I thought they had a great back-and-forth match, but I agree. I think that they should have sold it. I don't know if it should have been a crush. You know what it should have been? It should have been Emma sneak attacking her and beating her down for a couple minutes and then have it finished like that, you know.
If that's what they were going to do, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, really, honestly, it was a disappointing pay-per-view, saved only by the fact that some wrestlers got meningitis or mumps or whatever the hell they're never going to really ever disclose. Because your highlights were obviously Styles versus Balor.
Which I thought they could have taken about 10 minutes off the main event and
yes,
given back
absolutely.
To them.
Oh, definitely.
That match did not get nearly it needed.
I can see why Styles would want to go shorter because he literally did fly overnight from Chile to the pay-per-view. So,
yeah. I mean, and I don't think you want to give it away. I mean, maybe they're thinking they don't want to give everything away because they could really build up this in a future. This was an appeasement to the internet fans out there, I think.
That's true. I mean, you're building up something better than what you were giving away before because of the issues. But at the same time, you know, jumping to Raw a little bit, why does AJ get pinned clean in a really good match when Finn Balor loses in 5 seconds to Kane?
I know. Now I was going to bring that up later. What happened on Monday night when Kane came out and triple choke slam Finn Balor and pin him, and then has everybody questioning because to be honest with you, and no disrespect to Finn Balor, but the last time he went down from the last choke slam, it looked like he knew he was, you know, he didn't care anymore, and he's just going to let him like sit on top of him and can count to three.
There's rumors that maybe a little payback for something that happened during the pay per view as well.
Oh, you mean at the end of the AJ and Finn Balor where they do the two sweet in the middle of the ring.
Apparently that was impromptu.
Was it really? I want to talk about that a little bit because I thought that was like, you know, I mean, they can do it, right? Because
WWE owns the trademark.
Yeah. I was wondering about that. I think that was cool. I mean, the fans went nuts during it. So yeah, Danny.
perfect time to start coughing. I was thinking about the main event. So My only problem with it, again, I think it went way too long. It was nothing more than a spot fest. Wasn't really a match.
They hid Kurt the entire time.
Yes. But one of my favorite things is when Ambrose and Rollins come out, and then shortly thereafter, Kurt Angle joins them, and the look on his face, it's like a younger brother finally getting to hang out with his older brother and his friends.
Yeah.
So I, other than the act of murder committed during the pay-per-view, or, you know, during the match, I liked what they did with the match. It went a little long. I also wish when Kurt came back out and they played his music, he was in his singlet.
Yeah.
And was old Kurt, because he came down and did all the old Kurt stuff and was invincible after that. And the angle slam to Cesaro through the table was just so nonchalant.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, here you go.
As he stumbles back to the ring, he grabs a Cesaro who's bent over next to him, picks him up and does that. You know, I gotta say is, obviously, they booked the match for Kurt Angle to wrestle it much like Roman Reigns would have, because of even how they finished it by when they took out the Miz at the end and he did the giant slam that they do.
The triple powerbomb.
Triple power bomb.
The change was, I think that they would have done something different to knock Roman out. I mean, they didn't have to cart. This whole taking people to the back thing is getting a little ridiculous now. They've done it like four times this past year. But that whole thing was just like, hey, we're going to let Kurt rest and, you know, have a reason for him not to be fully involved in this match so he doesn't kill himself. So he doesn't have to do the spots and everything. But I don't think they would have done that with Roman. But at the same time,
well, you could tell he definitely wasn't Roman when they were doing the triple power bomb because Kurt Angle couldn't get him up as high. And, you know, so it was kind of odd looking.
He didn't grunt the same way either.
No, he definitely, I'm sure not. But, you know, it was a pretty violent match. I mean, we saw Kane get thrown through, you got triple power bomb too, you know, I mean, but, it was, you know, it's like, you know, it looked to me like that they stuck with the original plan and they wanted to get on. And then, of course, you know, but I mean, I think more of, I wish they gave 10 more minutes to the AJ match, the AJ Baylor match, because they don't have to stop at a certain time. There's no rule saying they have to stop. I know they don't, it gets out of control, I guess. If you ever book a wrestling show and you realize that all of a sudden you're like 4 hours into it and you're only in the eighth match or seventh match of the night, I guess it can get out of control because people, you know, people wanted to get their time in and stuff, but I would have definitely popped a lot longer for that one, that's for sure. And then it's like, and then the introductions just for the next match took another 5 minutes before everybody could come out. So it was, you know what, it was fun seeing that stuff. It was the too sweet thing was okay. I hope Baylor's not being punished for that because I think
it would be a one time thing because he's, I mean, they can't bury the demon. I'm sure he'll be on the Raw team for Survivor Series.
Yeah, and then, of course, overall, I mean, yeah, it was really an unbalanced pay-per-view. That's why the way I said it started up with the women's cruiserweight. I don't know what you guys think. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. But, you know, I mean, of course, I could have just waited for the match I wanted to see and then do something else. Like, it was the night of The Walking Dead was started. So, I mean, there was like lots of competition.
The Mickie James Alexa Bliss match wasn't bad. It was a good match. It just went 3 minutes too long and they lost the crowd.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was great.
And I think Mickie James calls a good match out there too. And I think it's one of the best I've seen Alexa do. I mean, actually perform. You know, actually, almost. I mean, I always have a hard time believing she can be so dominant because she's so little. You know, and it's like, but they really that match really, I think, gave her show her ability a lot.
So I'm going to say the highlight of that match was her promo beforehand. She's like, "What? Because you call me biscuit butt? I like my butt. It's cute." I'm like, "Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree."
Every man in attendance was like, "Yes,
yeah, you're the face now. What the hell?"
Yeah, and. So why don't we go take a break on this note and come back and talk about how they started to set up the Survivor Series, which I didn't even realize it, but it makes sense now that maybe AJ did come over because it allowed them to use him as a pivotal moment to set up this Survivor Series under siege hashtag, whatever they call it, which has started up this past Monday. But you're listening to the Pain Clinic. Give us a call, 222-1280, star 1280. We'll be back right after this on Fox Sports 1280.
know every story has a beginning, middle, and an end. And last night, I wrote a new chapter. Paul Heyman was right. I am not Brock Lesnar's equal. I am not Brock Lesnar's contemporary. I am not Brock Lesnar's counterpart. I am Brock Lesnar's worst nightmare.
You're out here right now as the commissioner of SmackDown Live. That's fine, but just know something. If you were standing here right now as Shane McMahon, the competitor, I would take you out in 1 second.
Well, I came here to let you know specifically that SmackDown is going to annihilate your precious Raw. I can see it right now in Twitter speak, hashtag under siege.
Hi, this is Shane McMahon, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. Sorry I made you listen to Lana's music. I didn't know she... Does she wrestle anymore? I don't think I've seen her on TV in months.
She manages Tamina.
It's probably a good thing you don't see her wrestling.
Yeah, that's true. Welcome back to the show.
I like her outfit, so.
I moved the camera around. The Facebook Live camera is now in the studio with me, so you should be able to hear me. If I put the headphones up by it, you should be able to hear these guys, too, or any calls that come in at 222-1280, star 1280. Like Danger Boy said, put a 585 in front of that, and you will if you're out of the area, code... Sorry, I'm a little distracted. No, now I made the camera go up. Oh, well. We'll figure this out here in just a second. But let's talk a little bit more about Monday Night Raw and the invasion angle, quote-unquote, at the end. Do you think that was hurried? I mean, we've got 3 weeks before the next pay-per-view. Was it hurried?
I know something that would have made it 50 times better. Without doubt, 50 times better. The first stop the SmackDown wrestlers should have made was the announce table.
That's true.
Yeah, get rid of Michael Cole.
First stop the announce table. I'm sorry, the announcers ruined it because they wouldn't shut up. It totally took me out of it. It made something that back in the Attitude Era would have been absolutely awesome. It made it kind of foolish.
Yeah, it's the Asian announcers that don't have the feel for it like some people do. Like, I'm sure you would have heard something from Jim Ross, but it wouldn't have been over the entire segment. It was great to see Jason Jordan just get... beat up by Chad Gable completely. The whole thing was actually pretty cool. Except for, I mean, the women, the 4-on-4 square off, I don't want to see that match anymore because the SmackDown went, I mean, it was even odds and the SmackDown women just destroyed the Raw women. So, unless Alicia Fox is the hidden secret there.
Hey, now that she's the captain, anything is possible. Which, yay, more Alicia Fox on TV.
Actually a decent match though, so that was surprising, but the whole thing, I mean, you didn't see any of the major stars other than S.H.I.E.L.D. get beat up. And apparently they heard everything and just hid and jumped on people.
Yeah.
Or they hang out in weird places and jump on people. I'm not sure which one I'm led to believe with that whole thing.
They're like the emo kids from South Park always hanging out at the loading dock.
Yeah.
You know, there were some notable people missing from SmackDown. Did you know, I didn't see Randy Orton there.
You didn't see Randy Orton. Charlotte Flair wasn't there. You didn't see Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens, we heard.
Jinder Mahal.
Was back. You know, Jinder shouldn't have been there. Sami Zayn shouldn't have been there because why would he be helping Shane? Why would Kevin Owens be helping Shane even though he wasn't with them anyways at the time? And it was a surprise to see him on Tuesday, actually, because he had family issues. But, you know, the whole thing is
where's the Bludgeon Brothers? I know they have to debut off of the Fashion Files now that we've built up this.
Now that they've been blatantly obvious and the Ascension have told them 2 weeks in a row who it's going to be, which means it's not going to be the Bludgeon Brothers and they're going to dance like Tyrus.
Oh God! Oh God!
You know, I hope it's just a red herring and, you know, Bray comes out with them too and it's back to the old school. 222-1280 Star Trek number. We've got Scott from Henrietta. What's up, buddy?
It's Saturday and it's 9 a.m. Normally I'm asleep, but now I'm awake because I got to listen to you guys.
Thank you. I appreciate you changing your schedule for us.
Yes, it was quite fun. But I can easily see the Ascension and Breezango or Fashion Files versus the Bludgeon Brothers and another pair probably by the end of this. Maybe as maybe as another Survivor Series match, maybe as like a pre-show match.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, as a way to bring them in originally.
Well, I mean, you've got a bunch of returns coming up, too. Paige is due for a return, which I'm betting will be a Survivor Series. Samoa Joe's probably due back soon. There's a couple different ways they can spin this, so it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I think SmackDown has a full five woman roster, right? They have five women for the match.
I think they all were backstage Monday at Raw too. When they had the beatdown,
except for Charlotte.
Yeah, no Charlotte though.
Well, the Queen doesn't have to work if she doesn't want to, apparently.
Oh, well, she's got a book she's promoting. I'm trying to get her on a show. Let's be nice to Charlotte, okay?
All right.
Yeah, or Ashley, or whatever her name is, okay?
All right, okay. But, no, I was actually calling because I was listening to Edge and Christian's podcast this week, and your feelings on the pay-per-view are exactly the same as Edge and Christian's. It's kind of freaky. Everybody wanted the Balor match to go longer. Everybody wanted the main event to go shorter. Everyone wasn't impressed with Asuka. It wasn't a great pay-per-view. I mean, it was entertaining at points, but I honestly turned it off halfway through the main event because it just got boring. I got tired of watching five guys beat up two guys.
Yeah, and besides the fact that they were also out and about on the ramp, they were in the ring. Some guys were in the backstage. Guys were out laying out cold on the side of the ring. You weren't sure. I mean, you knew that the match started with eight people in the ring. Just not sure where most of them were half the time,
Yeah, it got kind of boring to watch for the same aspect that at least, Dean Ambrose or Seth Rollins seemingly was always taking a pummeling. There wasn't really much offense on the other side of the on one side or another. It was just, they'd beat on him. Ambrose and Rollins would pull off some kind of spot. Then there'd be 2 minutes of sleeping. Then someone would start beating on Ambrose or Rollins again. Then 5 minutes later, there was another spot. It was like watching a Michael Bay movie.
I was going to say, they planned all these high spots in the match, and they kind of had to get to those positions to do it. And you're right. It's like Michael Bay makes the big explosions and the big chases, And
explosions
it's
are plot lines.
Apparently, much like lens flares are for what's his name,
J.J. Abrams.
Lens flare. But I agree.
It wasn't a great pay per view, but I mean, let's not take away from the fact that that was a great match. It definitely deserved 10 more minutes. I think it wasn't Omega Okada, but it was pretty darn close as far as quality. At least as far as the WWE is concerned, I mean, they don't put out high quality matches like that often, so I'm kind of enjoying the fact that, hey, we got a 16, 17-minute match out of AJ Styles and Finn Balor on a pay-per-view in the middle of the year for absolutely no reason whatsoever, and it was the best match we've seen all year from that brand.
I disagree with that statement. No. I think AJ Cena was better.
Yeah, and I would say one thing, too, is that we don't get to see Finn Balor work with guys his size who can work like he does. So, I mean, that was like the first time we really got a feel on TV for what, they can do, when he's working with someone as talented as AJ Styles in the ring. So, I mean, I think that's just a peek at what we're going to be getting in the next few months with AJ and, Nakamura, I think, eventually, as well as maybe even, who knows, maybe they'll change things up and they'll put Finn against him at WrestleMania. That'd be pretty cool, too.
Could be. I mean, the other nice part, as you mentioned, they being the same size, it allowed Balor to actually, he was showing a lot more emotion typically than he does with the Demon. With the Demon, it's just, I'm going to come out, I'm going to kick you a couple times, I'm going to win, and it's over. This time he's jumping and kicking. He's getting a little vicious with AJ, which was a nice change. It was just a great match overall. I know someone said they preferred Cena Styles. I'm kind of on the fence with that because there's been a couple great Cena Styles matches, and I don't know if that one's the better one. But I don't know. It wasn't a great pay-per-view in my mind, but it was what it was because of a virus. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, who knows what we would be saying if that didn't happen,
So I have a quick question. What's in that body paint that makes the Demon so much tougher than Finn Balor?
That's a good question.
Moxie.
Is it performance enhancing? Can they test for that?
Performance enhancing paints.
By the way, and he had the most. I was going to say this: the smallest amount of paint on him ever as the Demon. But man, if you looked real close at the pictures that were drawn on him, the flames on his chest, that was pretty very detail oriented, very very awesome look to it too. It's like he didn't have the whole, he wasn't, black from his waist to the top of his head like he usually does with the big tongue coming out around his chest. But it still was pretty cool. It was a little bit more of a reserved Demon, painting job. But if you look real close, it was done very, very well. So
The one thing I regret is that now that he's in the United States, he can't take as much creative license as he was when he was in Japan, when he was doing like Punisher and he was doing different comic book characters. He has to just stick with the demon. He can't get creative because he pulled off a couple in Japan where he was, you know, he had like the full black head and black chest, and he had the Punisher symbol on his face, and it was bleeding down onto his chest a couple times. He's done some really cool ones. I just wish he could do a little bit more, but I realize now that he's back in the States, he's got to deal with copyrights and Disney, and, well, you don't want to tick off the mouse, so.
I remember the time that we were talking about this last week at this time we were talking about Rey Mysterio coming out in the Flash uniform for WrestleMania,
He did Silver Surfer once, too, and looked like a pinball.
Yeah, I guess if you change the design up enough, they can't sue you, but believe me, the likeness for him in the Flash, I mean, it was just like watching the Flash TV show, except it was Rey Mysterio wrestling in that suit, so. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know the legalities behind it. Maybe they have to for the longest time, Hulk Hogan had to pay money to Marvel Comics so he could use the name Hulk in his name. I mean, they had a trademark on it, and he, for years and years and years, everywhere he went was written to his contract that they had to pay a certain amount of money to Marvel so they could use the Hulk name. So, you know, I mean, they make these deals and everything, and I love to see, but you know what? With things that have happened in the United States in the last, like, few months, I don't know if doing the Punisher would be a good thing to come out to do, you know, at a pay-per-view. Though I would probably mark out big time for it with a big skull on his chest and everything, but I don't, you know, I mean, I think we've only seen what Finn can do just barely, and I cannot wait until he gets a chance to really. I mean, but what we had a problem with was that Kane defeat of him on the next night. Is just, I don't know how much.
What
sense.
That wasn't too sweet for you?
Yeah,
it just felt that way.
Yeah, you know, I just, you know, why did they have him lose outright to Kane, who, you know, had one
not just lose, get squashed, three choke slams.
What he did. Unfortunately, you still have to. The guy behind the curtain who sits at the gorilla position is the one who still calls the shots, and he probably didn't like the fact that they made fun of what was going on.
If that's the case, then because I think that, you know, I just felt like I'm looking at myself. I'm thinking to myself after the match, and it's like, why? What was the? You got a part time guy who hasn't been around in 6 months come out and squash the guy who was your first Universal Champion, you know.
He's got to look strong for his mayoral campaign.
I have no idea what the rationale behind that, but.
Vote for me. I go against the cease and desist.
Killed somebody.
Cease and desist. Yeah, I threw some. And he killed a teammate of his own group, you know. It's like.
Keeping garbage men in business.
Yeah, all right. Hey, thanks for calling, Scott.
Union. All right, see you guys.
222-1280, star 1280 is the number. That, I see your comments on the Facebook Live, by the way, and I'm not going to say anything. Somebody mentioned that the Bludgeon Brothers, they saw them in line getting a ticket for Thor Ragnarok, so it's like that's what they've been doing, I guess, waiting before they debut. But on that beautiful note, we're going to take a break on that and come back on the flip side. You are listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
I'm the goddess of WWE, and you will chant, you deserve it to me.
But the bottom line is, Shane, you want us to represent SmackDown Live at Survivor Series. In fact, I think I would even take it up a notch and say, you need us to represent SmackDown Live at Survivor Series.
At Survivor Series, I want you to bring your gold medal, what's left of your Raw roster, and we're all going to finish what we started. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
What up, y'all? This is Violent J from the Insane Clown Posse.
And this happens to be Shaggy Too Dope.
And you are listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK, baby.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I had to do it because they were in town this past week. Our friends, Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope and the Insane Clown Posse and all the Juggalos were all out at What is that place called? It used to be the warehouse. Now it's
German House?
No, it's they originally were.
Oh yeah, they moved to Funkin' Waffles.
That's it. I've never. I mean, that's where the
it used to be Water Street.
Water Street is now. Yeah, or was. You know. So yeah, they. I saw pictures. It was just absolutely packed, and I missed it though. I'm sorry, guys. Didn't get to see you when you were in town. Did not get my Faygo. But a lot of friends that were there. I saw. With the Faygo, empty Faygo bottles. What, they spray the crowd with it or something? I have no idea.
I can't say as I've ever been to an ICP show.
222-1280, Star 1280. If you went to this bash.
I have met them without their makeup, though. Yes, that's more than most people can say.
Yeah, you can't take a picture with us. That's what we were told. Because yep. They had no makeup on. It's like, no pictures. Kind of like.
Is the one guy Guy Fieri?
He looked like him. Yeah.
It's Violent J.
Violent J and Shaggy 2 Dope, who was with crutches when we saw him because he had just done some crazy wrestling move on one of the wrestling shows and dislocated his knee or something like that. I don't know. Remember that? He was like hopping around.
I remember when they were in town, they were actually that day when they were here for that Nitro, they were supposed to have a JCW match here in Rochester, but they didn't realize there was an athletic commission and it never actually got, like, put together.
Yeah, so they just stopped by Rochester to hang out with their friends.
Yeah, they're hanging out in a suite with Vampiro.
Yeah, and WCW, you know, they were in town. That was that last time WCW was here for Monday Night Raw, you know, interesting show. But, and they're still doing it, man. They're still, you know, they were here this past week. So I had to put that down. I had to use that because it's like I missed those guys were pretty cool. And we interviewed them for 15 minutes, and they were fine. They were talking all about wrestling, Public Enemy, and all the stuff they did with WWE and how they got kicked out of every wrestling company in the world.
I did have a couple of their wrestling VHS tapes.
Oh, yeah?
They were hilarious.
They were great.
The commentary was awesome.
They were good. They were good.
They were, and they got to do a lot. You know, I mean, what was it that we saw in WCW that they did? Was it like an ambulance match or something?
They did the match on the Partridge Family bus where...
Yeah.
The big chick thriller there threw him off the top of the bus.
On
accident. Mike, he slid off the back.
Mike Awesome, yeah. He wasn't supposed to go that far.
No.
Yes, Mike Awesome. Rest in peace, sir. Mike Alfonso, I think his name was. But, some good times, man. Well,
Mike Awesome built at 6'10", shows up. He's like 6'2".
Listen, you know, there's nothing that surprised me more when he was wearing a Pain Clinic shirt doing a meet and greet. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. And it was like on their webpage and, you know, propaganda.
Oh, Vampiro wore one on Nitro.
Yeah, it's true. That's back when they get it. They were kind of like
DDP
loose cannons.
DDP wore one?
They're loose cannons. DDP did it on a pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So they did. It was loose cannons, you know. They were, because nowadays WWE, you can't wear a t-shirt unless it's okayed by the company.
Vampiro had the one with the Pepsi logo because he had put the little tape over the top.
That's right, you know. And they, nowadays you're never going to see anybody in something like that, their own t-shirt, unless it's Brock Lesnar and it's Jimmy Johns or,
Sponsorship shirts. Let's buy sponsorship on shirt.
Yeah, why not? 222-1280, Star 1280. Definitely could do that. You know, I want to let you know that we're going to be out at Salvatore's at the Garage Door and Salvatore's Saloon 1 week from today for UFC 217. There's three championship fights on the card. You cannot miss it. In fact, the undercard is good enough to be a fight. And there's a fight night tonight, I believe, in UFC too. But this one is got three championship fights on and the return of GSP.
Cerrone got knocked out last week. That was awesome.
I saw that. Cerrone got knocked out in the first round. Guy just put his fist between his hands and hit him in the face. It was just unbelievable. But this has got three championship fights, and you're going to see George St. Pierre making his return to UFC. We'll see how he does, man. I'm looking forward to seeing that. Hosted by us. Prizes, drink specials all night long at Salvatore's Saloon. Salvatore's at the Garage Door, UFC 217. So let's go back and talk a little bit. Now, overall, the invasion, we didn't talk much about, you know, what you think about the invasion. Is the invasion storylines getting so old? Is that something that, you know, it's not nearly as a surprise anymore? I mean, and someone's got to be a heel and someone's got to be a face a lot of times. And so I think the feel we got was Shane McMahon was the heel in the whole thing.
You know, I heard, you know, that Shane was the heel and he didn't really play up a heel part on SmackDown because they still had the heels going against him, you know, with Sami Zayn and whatnot, which was awesome when he was dancing in his face.
Yeah.
Which Danny has on his phone. But
I will post that to the Pain Clinic page.
But and you can all like, he definitely played the heel on Raw. I wonder if the Raw guys will play the heel on SmackDown and they'll just, like, go back and forth or whatnot. Because it is, you know, you have a competition. It's going to be, you know, brand versus brand. And it'll be interesting who the teams are made up of. But There was a little hint on SmackDown that a certain was Shane's the what is he? He runs it, and then is Daniel Bryan the general manager? Is that how that works?
Something like that. Yeah,
It didn't look like Daniel Bryan was exactly happy with what Shane did.
No, they had a little backstage thing where he's like, you know,
and Brian Alvarez brought it up earlier in the week talking with Dave Meltzer because I have way too much time on my hand to listen to this stuff. What if Daniel? Could you not picture everything that came out of Sami Zayn's mouth coming out of Daniel Bryan's mouth?
Oh, that would be awesome. I mean, that would have been fantastic. But he's a guy you don't think is going to be going in that direction, you know? I mean,
Meltzer brought it up. You know, they're going to try to. Everyone knows next September he's gone. If they won't let him wrestle, next September he is gone. He is going to go wrestle.
Well, I will say a lot of things, too, and it probably will be before then because they like to write people off and give them 3 months to sit at home and before they can make any money.
True. But how do you devalue him? In Vince's eyes, how you devalue him? You make him a bad guy that people don't like.
They've tried that before, you know, and people are still behind him, you know. Like
I know, I'm not saying it'll work.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying maybe he ends up with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn on that side against Shane.
I wouldn't mind that at all, especially if he gets back in the ring a
little
bit.
Could be interesting. I would love it if he got back in the ring.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to get back
Internet
in the ring.
Internet fans would lose their collective minds if we had a stable forming with Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn.
Yeah. They could call it something like, I don't know.
The Undisputed Era?
The Ring of Champions or something like that, you know? The Ring of Champions group. You know, and I don't know. I could see so much good stuff coming out of that. And I wouldn't mind. That would be like a double turn because the way that Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon's little discussion went, you know, obviously Shane was healing a little bit, you know, against Daniel Bryan when they were talking about what he goes, hey, it'd be nice if you included me on the plans for this, this takeover and everything. Now, I thought it was interesting when the takeover was happening that if you watched it, Baron Corbin was working with the New Day, you know, and when they were like holding people down and beating people up, and it was like
Rude and Ziggler were beating up people together.
Yeah, it's like,
and they mentioned it on Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, it's like I'm watching that. It's like, wait a second, these guys are, you know, all these guys have had these feuds and everything, and all are working together, you know, out there beating people up, and it was kind of silly though that they just, you know, it's like, isn't that, you know, I mean, remember that time?
I love that Matt Hardy and Finn Balor came out of the bathroom.
It was like the toilet area of the locker room.
Yeah, they come out there. What's going on? Oh, they're beat up.
Yeah, it didn't take long, but it's like it's just the whole thing of like, you know, invasion. It's silly because it's like haven't we had people like threaten to sue people before because they were hit, you know, by a wrestler or you know were beat up by, and so these guys were just beating everybody up they walked by, you know. It was.
They even beat up the Raw monitor.
Yeah, they beat up the Raw monitor that smashed to the ground.
Heck, on Tuesday on SmackDown, the New Day beat up Raw Fruit.
Yeah, that's true. You know, they.
It's just a shame that throughout their rampage, they couldn't find Enzo Amore's private locker room.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely wouldn't mind seeing that.
It is a shame.
Yeah. I love it how, you know, now Enzo's got his group together. I'm sure he'll have a real name soon. You know, the Cruiserweight Dudes or something. Who knows? You know,
the Cruiserweight Dudes with Attitudes.
Dudes with Attitudes. I don't know about
that. They all get matching leather jackets.
2-2-2-12-80 structural. I bet you there's people who didn't realize we're at 9 o'clock this morning who are just getting up and having their coffee and they're going to tune in and they're going to
hopefully when they make their 47 points, it's after we're off the air.
Yeah, that's true. And I'm sure we'll hear from him too. Hey, well, why don't we go to break on that note? We're going to go to break and you can give us a call 222-1280, star 1280. We are watching you on Facebook Live. We are on live right now.
I don't think we're watching them.
No, but they're watching us, but we've got till 10:30. So we're only halfway through the show right now. And so we'll be back on the flip side of this break. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Ooh, Mr.
All right, welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Thank you, Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant. Not a lot of people might know who that guy is. He was a big
wrestler.
Yeah, Georgia Championship Wrestling, World Championship Wrestling in its early days. But I know one guy who definitely would know who he is, and he's on the phone with us right now. It's Mad Dog Bobby Rogers. What's up, buddy?
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for calling, man.
Yeah, not a big deal. I loved Boogie Woogie Man back in the day. Silly, but fun.
Well, you were there when we interviewed him. I remember he was just like, he was like off the wall for everything, yeah. You know?
It's like having to talk to Ted Nugent on methamphetamine.
You mean normal? I mean, sorry, no.
Yeah. So I know it's an unpopular thing. I love women's wrestling when it's good. When TNA had their little stint with the beautiful people and all that stuff before Lacey Von Erich crapped the bed.
Sure.
I think Emma, who I think is horrendous on a normal basis, had a great match with Asuka. Do I believe Asuka should have killed her? Probably, for all the hype they had. But I think it was a great match all in all.
Yeah, I agree. It was a good match if you look at it as just the match. But the way they built up Asuka and everything, sure, is where I had the issue with it.
Yeah. And another thing, I completely, completely hate Alicia Fox, okay? Cannot stand her. However, the last two matches I saw her in, her in-ring stuff, if you take the gimmick out of it, was awesome.
You got to figure, if you're there for 10 years, you're going to know what to do, you know, at any given moment to in the wrestling ring, you know?
Right.
And she's good. She sells very well for everybody, and she calls a good match. And
I just thought her offense was, at least in the last two matches I've seen, even her offense was pleasurable to watch. I mean, the crazy character, okay, yeah. Get over it. But I just think that, you know, for the longest time, women's wrestling has been dull at best. You know, great eye candy here and there, but for the most part, it's been so dull. And I think those two people have really stepped up their game in the last month.
Do you think, and I kind of believe this a little bit, that they've been force-feeding women's division down our hands, or down our mouths, down our throats, you know, through the last few months? It's like they're forcing the women's to be in higher prominent positions on their shows, as well as, you know, like Monday, even their TV shows. And I have heard that was kind of like a rat. It's kind of what they might be doing, but it's like, I don't know if that's why we're now more accustomed to enjoying some of the women out, you know, like, for instance, you said, we never would see her before, what's her name, Crazy Girl. So it's like, but now that Alicia Fox, now that the women have become more prominent on the shows, we're going to get more of her. Obviously, you know, she's the captain of the women's team for Survivor Series, but...
Yeah, and that's going to be a big comedy angle, of course, but it's funny because you got people like Nia Jax who, just because of her stature, her size, should be dominating, you know, people like, what's the girl, the little girl that's the champion now?
Alexa Bliss?
Yeah, like 2'5".
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There should be no way in hell that Nia Jax couldn't beat her up.
Oh, no, and that's why Nia, actually, that's kind of the story coming out from this past week, why Nia walked away from the company for a couple weeks ago, is because they booked her to lose clean to Alexa Bliss. And it's
Sasha,
like,
Banks.
I'm sorry, was it Sasha Banks?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Again.
Sasha Banks again, and it's like, she's like, you know, I mean, and they build her up as this this incredible thing, but like I think I've mentioned before, she never wins. So it's like, you know, you're kind of just doing a disservice by building up this monster who can't win, you know?
They should have put the title on her, let her run rampant, introduce Asuka, have her run her way through the women's division,
right,
and have them eventually face off at like Royal Rumble or something.
Yeah.
Who's that, DC?
Yep.
Completely correct, sir.
Yeah, you know, and it's like, but you know, I think ever since the Diva show started on TV, that you know, I didn't do my birthdays today. You know what? I forgot to do my birthdays. Hold on a second. You know whose birthday it is today? MVP. He's 44, and WWE Diva Search winner Christy Hemme's 38 today. She's the very first one, but you know, ever since they started this Diva show, they have a higher emphasis on the women. I guess something that Triple H has been working on, is trying to emphasize women more. It's like, unfortunately, it's like for the longest time, there's like, what, five on each brand, you know, that they'll even use?
Yeah, you know, you split up the numbers so you only have, you know, so many on each show. And also, when they're down in NXT and they're having these great matches, they weren't given the same restrictions they were given. They're given every night on Raw or anything like that, and it wasn't shoved down our throat all the time. So, I mean, you'd have a great takeover match. You wouldn't have great TV matches on NXT for the most part, but you'd have a great takeover match. Now, when they go to a pay-per-view, they give them, what, 7 minutes?
Yeah.
And it's not the good, it's not, you're not getting like Sasha Banks and Bayley. You're not getting Charlotte and Sasha Banks without restrictions where they can actually go and do what they can do. You're given, you know, what they're done. Like they had the Hell in the Cell match, and all they did was work Sasha's back the whole time.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, you know, and I'm really surprised they didn't have more of the indie women that performed in the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah, you're right about that.
There was a bunch on NXT this week. Like Candice LeRae was back on NXT this week it was only a Battle Royal, but she got a good pop.
Still, it's about time that some of those women, because I mean, most of the indie women that are out there, they got to claw and scratch to get to what they, you know, to get where they're going.
Yeah, well, you know, plus you have to look like $1 million in the WWE's eye. You know, if you don't look like $1 million, if you don't look like
or be related to The Rock,
or related to The Rock, if you don't look like a super hot model or are related to The Rock, then you're not really going to get much of a chance. And this is really going to ruin it for everybody. But when Ronda Rousey comes in the next couple of months, she's coming in. She's definitely training. And
didn't you say you had to look good though?
Ronda looks okay. Okay.
Okay for what? It looks like she got hit with the ugly tree.
Ronda's okay. Believe me, she doesn't need to wrestle in the WWE. She has enough money, you know, that she always was a fan. So she's probably, you know, she's probably going to draw some incredible buy rates once she, you know, I mean, not that they care about buy rates anymore, but they're probably giving her a piece of the network or something to come join them. You know, who knows what the deal is, but, you know, her friend, of course, her friend was in the finals there of the Mae Young Classic, and they got some nice camera time, and it was just a tease towards what's going to happen. So, apparently, we were hearing, what was it, the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen of the UFC or whatever?
Yeah.
Eventually, we're going to see like a match like that. So, I can't wait for something like that to happen. But, because then you get to see the Four Horsewomen, the original Four Horsewomen were, you know, got people that hated each other and had matches against each other in the last 2 years in WWE with Charlotte, Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks and Bayley. It's like those four were like the Four Horsewomen, you know. So it's
I'm getting really I liked Bayley when she first started, you know, the whole hugger thing, and now it's the whole, you know, with her and Sasha Banks, maybe they're friends, maybe they're not, maybe they're rivals, maybe they're not. Get it over with.
Yeah, there's a heel turn in there someplace that's going to happen someday soon. And it may, you know, it seems like they save a lot of things for the big pay-per-views, and that's like something they definitely would save for like a WrestleMania moment. So, but it didn't happen last year, which everybody thought it was gonna. So, I don't know. You know, I mean, they think that they have us on the edge guessing when it's gonna happen. So, but
am I the only person that likes Enzo Amore?
Yes, you are.
I think he's better as a heel.
I think he does a great job on the mic, and he definitely gets people angry. But,
he can't wrestle.
Yeah, I mean, he's not a great wrestler. I mean,
he can't wrestle, but there's a million guys who've made him $1 million, and they can't wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and that's what he's telling. That's why he goes out there with a microphone and just starts blabbing at everybody, saying how he goes through the whole cruiserweight division one by one, saying why you don't make money and why you're not, why I'm better than you because I can talk, you know? And it's so I love it when he did it.
One more thing before we get out of here. I'll let you go. Do you think that Daniel Bryan is going to let the Raw roster in?
It's going to happen.
That would be awesome.
It's going to happen with, you know what? I didn't think about that. But yeah, you know, it probably will happen next week. I wouldn't be surprised.
They're going to England right after Raw.
Kind of just to teach Shane a lesson.
Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, if it set up a Daniel Bryan Shane match eventually, possibly at WrestleMania.
Right.
There's so much that we can do with that. Mad Dog, we got to run, buddy. Thank you so much for the call.
All right, buddy.
Hey, we're going to be on for another half hour, so
I'm listening.
Stay tuned, buddy. We'll talk to you later. All right, 222-1280, star 1280 is the number. Thank you so much. Mad Dog Bobby Rogers, one of the original hosts of the show. It's me, Mad Dog, Soccer Sam.
I'm Dr. Love.
Dr. Love.
Some puny kid screening phone calls.
Yeah, that, and we and then anybody else who wanted to come and hang out with us. But we're going to go to break. We're going to do the top of the hour news here, folks. Then we're going to come back and do another half hour of wrestling. So I can't wait to come on the other side of the top of the hour and say, hey, everybody who missed the past hour, you missed a gem. You know, because people are
best hour ever.
Yeah, you know, but nevertheless, we'll still be Facebook Living. I'll go over and talk a little bit to it during the top of the hour news here. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Fox Sports. We'll be back right after the news here on Fox Sports 1280.
Listening to the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. Yes, hour number two we are going into. If you've missed the show and you don't follow us on Facebook or social media, we are on at 9 o'clock. Where were you? I'm looking at you. Where were you?
They're technically looking at us.
Are you looking at us? That's right. Well, if you want, we are on Facebook Live right now. You can see Danger Boy. You can see DC Dan Cole, and I am the Cash Man. But I will only pop in once in a while. We're going to be going to 10:30 today. So, yeah, lucky you. That's what I said. But we're going to actually 10:27 will be done then, okay? But we're going to go
50% more Pain Clinic today.
50% more. Yes, and you always can
0%
use
0% cost increase.
0% cost increase, and you need that in your diet because we have UB football coming up. And did I hear Marcellus Darius got traded?
Yes.
Did he really?
Marcel Darius got traded to Jacksonville for a 6th-round pick and no more of that salary on Buffalo's cap.
All right.
So they take a bite next year because they got to finish paying off this the signing bonus.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard that. And it's good news for the, you know, I mean, he hasn't been playing that much. So
if he plays well for Jacksonville, they're going to be very tough to beat.
Okay, we're done with football talk. Now we're going to go back into pro wrestling, and we've been talking about, of course, the Tables, Ladders, and Chairs pay-per-view. Talked about the Monday Night Raw, Under Siege, the new hashtag by Shane McMahon that came out.
A couple things that we forgot to mention about that because I have so much time on my hands and listen to Dave Meltzer's reports every day. So they're talking about when they can do the Raw invasion angle. This week after Raw, they're going to Europe. The week after, Raw and SmackDown are in Europe, or in England. So they're going to have to, it's going to be like the week they come back. So the week before would be like the first time they could possibly do it, because they have shows scheduled otherwise. And also, the ratings on Monday took the biggest ever third hour drop from the beginning of the show to the end of the third hour. However, with the invasion angle, SmackDown ratings were up.
Yes, yeah, because of what they saw on Monday made everyone turn over
or what they
Tuesday.
Heard from Monday or yeah. anything like that. And he was talking about there's weird things where teenage girls are watching almost as much as teenage boys now.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's the women's influence, injecting them into,
Or there's really cute guys on, one of the two.
That could be it, too. You know, I mean, we know some women who love Finn Balor, love the soccer mom hairstyle,
They're turning in for the Fashion Files.
It could be the Fashion Files when we're finally going to get the Bludgeon Brothers coming up soon. Hopefully soon, very soon. Like I said, I was hoping it was just like a red herring and it turns into Bray Wyatt comes out and is with him again. But, just be reliving something that was successful in the past. It doesn't always work, obviously. But
the ascension of the biggest faces in wrestling now.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Well, because they're buddies with Breezango.
And they had two tickets to Paradise.
They did have two tickets.
They turned face with the Eddie Money references.
You know what's funny is Eddie Money was in town the day after that, and he was on the radio shows and stuff in town here. I was going to call him up and say, you got a really good run on Monday Night Raw, SmackDown this past week, because they kept showing two tickets to Paradise in their faces and a big invitation and stuff. It was a very, very, very interesting. But yeah, I kind of like their association, but man, it's like, yes, the double Bs mean the Bludgeon Brothers, I believe. Unless it's who else could it be? The Killer Bees. I mean, I don't know if they're both alive or wrestle anymore. But we're going to see our friend Luke Harper make his return soon. Hopefully, I hope they don't drag it out till the next pay per view. But yeah, it takes a long time. I mean, I love the promos though. They really spent a lot of time, it sounds like they're almost, I'm going to have to ask, it almost sounds like that they are overdubbing their voices at another time from when they're recording them. because it sounds like it's in like an echo chamber or something when they do it. But it is, I think they're pretty neat. And
it looks like a step back for both of them.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens right now. They'll have to make, you know what? What was the New Day for the New Day guys? Remember how much, you know, hand clapping and singing and stuff? And then look what it turned into, the biggest thing in the company. So always we'll use that as a reference point. Someone says they've got a terrible...
I liked a Rowan who was, you know, an idiot savant who could do wine on the side and stuff like that. I miss that Eric Rowan.
That Eric Rowan wasn't around very long.
No, but he was great.
Yeah, you know, who knows? But, you know what? I just want to see him on TV and get him back out there and people, because I don't want him to forget what a great wrestler Luke Harper is and, you know, how he can do things a big guy his size shouldn't. But, you know, I want to bring this up, and I don't know if you saw this or not, but Shawn Michaels, he's been down on NXT the last few weeks. Have you been watching it? He's going to have, I guess it's an impromptu match. It's not really a match because, like Ric Flair told us, he retired, but then he had a street fight. Well, Shawn Michaels is having an ab off against Johnny Gargano.
Against someone he can't possibly beat.
Yeah, Johnny Gargano. He's having an ab off, which means, you know, abs, you know, stomach muscles. You know, the six packs.
Oh, is that what those are?
Yeah, six packs.
I wouldn't know. You know,
none of us do.
No, yeah, I certainly don't know what an ab. I know where the abs are. You know, definitely when you hurt one, but the reason when you eat Thanksgiving, you have to take the belt loop out one extra link on the belt, you know, and let the pants open up because you need to make room for those abs to move. Nevertheless, that's not funny. Nevertheless, they're having an ab off at TakeOver. Originally, he was supposed to be, I guess, the referee in the...
he's doing that the night before. I got that wrong last week.
Oh, that's right.
He's doing that night before with Adam Cole and Drew McIntyre in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And then he's doing the ab off with Johnny Gargano on TakeOver. And I guess it's like motivation for him to work out more and stuff like that so he can push himself.
Sure.
But... he can't possibly win. Johnny Gargano is just like, he can just stand there like he is now and he'll kill him.
Yeah. Well, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll get to see HBK back in the ring because it's something that happens during the ab off. Not that, I mean, listen, he's down there training the kids at NXT now. He works as one of their trainers. I mean, you knew he was going to come back and do that eventually someday. And he's
I didn't think he was going to have an ab off.
No, I didn't think he's going to have an ab off either, but it's going to, you know, it's a funny stuff that he does, and it's probably, there's a lot of humor probably behind it, you know, so we'll see where it goes, but it's nice to see that they're actually he's actually on the list of highlighted things for that show.
How far along is Ciampa? Maybe he'll come out and jump HBK and Gargano will save him.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, I would love to see if they could work that back out.
I don't think Ciampa's ready yet, but.
When did he get hurt? It was right after they won the titles, right? It was,
No, it was after they dropped him, so I'm. May? Was that the May TakeOver?
Yeah, so he was probably out a bit longer then because he completely blew his knee out, right?
Yeah, it was ACL and he had ankle injury, but that's probably healed.
Well, who knows? You never know. Maybe it will be a reason for, you know, that's definitely a feud in waiting, you know, another thing you have to wait for. But Shawn Michaels will be having an ab off with Johnny Gargano at WWE NXT TakeOver War Games November 18th. Another reason to turn on the WWE Network on Saturday night and watch this. I'm, you know, especially if you're a Shawn Michaels fan. And it's like, you know what? I miss him. I was never really a big fan of his. I enjoy his work, but now he's been gone for a long time. You don't see a guy like that who can work like he is, you know, he used to. You know, I mean, he is the atypical WWE style worker, you know, and he did such a great job at it. So, yeah.
There is a news item here that's not WWE. Well, it is technically WWE related because they're paying for part of it.
But, I know, and I want to bring that up, too. Why don't you talk about it?
So, Jeff Jarrett checked himself into rehab, WWE-sponsored rehab, because he did work for the company, so they are paying for his rehab for alcohol abuse. Apparently, you know, there was rumors going around when the GFW and Anthem decided to stop working together, or, you know, Jeff got suspended and everything. This week, that whole working relationship was terminated, and shortly thereafter, it came out about Jeff showing up at a indie event, and he was late and hammered and continued drinking and passed out backstage and missed his match because he was drinking backstage and came out. Like, he ended up having a match, but it wasn't anything good, and then had issues, and apparently he checked himself into rehab. He's getting help for what he needs, and
So that's what it means when we were talking back.
No condition to wrestle is what.
Remember, he was in Triple A. They said he was in no condition to wrestle, and I didn't know what that meant. Was he out of shape?
I'm guessing it meant that
he was in the bag.
He was under the influence.
Two sheets to the wind, as they say. He was and which is sad because I was reading Sean Waltman came out and was saying that Jeff was always one of the guys who wanted to go out and have a few after they were done, or he was always ready to party with everybody.
Well, when he came up in the business, that's what they did. I mean, he was a young guy. He was around for the end of the territory days, and his father was around for all of them. And his father might not have been involved in it as much because he had the whole hand with running the show and all that kind of stuff. But that's what the boys did. You would go do your show, you'd go drink, you'd go sleep, and you'd get back on the road for 300 miles to the show the next day. And that's what you did 6-7 days a week. And it's completely changed now, but some people don't get that out of their system. And some people also have issues later in life when that doesn't get out of their system, and maybe they repress it for a while, and you've been working nonstop for the last 25, 30 years.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's a lonely life on the road. It's why I told someone I never would really want a job on the road, because every night you're a different place when you're flying, when you're not there, or you're driving to the next place, and it's like, it's not like you can sit back with your family and have a couple beers at dinner or something. It's like, you're done with the work for the day, and some people just go to the bar.
It worked out for people like Ricky Morton.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're going to see him sometime soon, too. I saw some teases about that. But so Jeff Jarrett, yeah, and apparently he missed a show altogether last weekend. And so immediately Anthem comes out and says we have negated our deal with him. And then about an hour later, then we see his wife, Karen Jarrett, had contacted WWE, because WWE will always support ex-wrestlers, and they will give them, they will help them out in getting clean. And the WWE is helping Jeff Jarrett get clean. So it's amazing, because you would think those are the two farthest spectrums
all the people they would help. You would think Jeff Jarrett would be the last one.
Yeah, because of all the things that have gone on between him and them,
But the way they see it, if there's bad press, like something happens to Jeff, and it gets in the news and everything like that, the first thing they're going to say is ex-WWE wrestler.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, it's true. It's true, because there's no other companies that are that big. So it's like, unfortunately. But they also offer, they've done some great things for people who used to work for them, like for Maria Kanellis.
They'll pay for your college.
They paid for her to get her bachelor's degree or whatever, her master's or whatever she's working on now, too. And,
she's working on a kid.
She wasn't working with them for most of that. Now she's back working with them. So, they have some great programs to help out. Because of a lot of wrestlers, it's hard for you to pick a future when you're on the road every day of the week and you get a day and a half at home to cut the lawn and do your laundry. Then you're back out on the road again.
They don't cut their own lawn.
Well, some of them do, I'm sure.
You pay for someone to do that.
but it's a tough life, and it's like everyone says, always, be a college graduate. You want to get in the WWE, you got to be a college graduate. Because you have to have something else you can fall back on, and it's like, that's probably, there's a lot of truth behind that. For all you kids out there who want to be wrestlers, learn from the mistakes of the past generation and have some sort of skill and something else as a fallback just in case. Or, I like collecting cars, so I don't know if that would count as a job. If like John Cena, he collects cars and he wrestles, and he does movies too, but, so there's a lot of things. Some other news that are on there. I don't know if you saw this or not, but on Friday, November 17th at 11 a.m., you can buy your WrestleMania 34 tickets. They are on sale at 11 a.m. that day. That's for the April 8th, 2018 Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans, and the tickets go from $35 to $1,000. And all you have to do is get Ticketmaster, find Ticketmaster that day. You can get $35 tickets. You're probably not going to see very well, but, maybe you might not see at all. It may be partially obstructed views, but, you can buy those tickets for $35, or you can pay, go crazy and get the chair and take home with you and stuff. Danny, any chance you're going this year?
Probably not.
No?
Probably not. I've relented to the fact that if I ever go to a WrestleMania again, it will probably be by myself.
Gotcha.
Because my wife has just lost total interest.
Well, it's because WrestleMania 29, it was cold, first of all. And we had to sit there for 5 hours in the cold.
Cold, and we had one of those obstructed views you were talking about because of the massive rigs they have to set up when they're outdoors.
Yeah, me too. In fact, I had a giant palm tree between me and the ring. And so it's like the ring's in there. Hopefully nothing takes place behind the giant palm tree in the corner. But, you know, beyond that and, you know, the fun we had out in the parking lot.
You guys wearing your skirts?
Hey. Oh, I was just gonna say, yeah, a day of parking lot drinking and skirt wearing,
and CM Punk and Paul Heyman clones everywhere. So CM Punk's got a fight now coming up from UFC. I don't know if they announced the date yet, but he's definitely training for a new fight, which is a nice little segue there. 222-1280 Star 12 is the number. We've got about 10 minutes left, and then we're gonna hand it over to the Connor and Ferris High School Sports Show with Jeff DeVeronica. That will be at 10:30. And then they're going to go until UB football starts at 11:30. So we got lucky. We got an hour and a half today, and you guys have been watching on Facebook. And if you aren't watching on Facebook, go find the Pain Clinic on Facebook. And we've been streaming live the past hour and a half, and probably not nearly as exciting as it was last week because we had a cameraman last week. We'll try that again. Maybe when we get some, I'll get an intern or something who want to come in here and be like the cameraman for the hour.
So random question I have from Raw that, you know, in a segment people probably even forgot about. Why was Mickie James wearing 8-inch heels?
That's a good question. Because
why not?
Well, I mean, yeah. Why are you gonna go into a wrestling ring and do a wrestling move with 8-inch heels on? She could have killed herself.
Yeah, I think people are realizing. You know, if you ever look at like the divas standing all side by side and everything, that Bayley like is she like giant compared to all of them. I think maybe just trying to catch up with a little height issues there by, you know, wearing those 8-inch heels. But I have no complaints with Mickie James. She smells very good, and she likes to hug.
That wasn't creepy at all.
I know. But listen, every time
lead with she's a good hugger. Don't lead with she smells good.
She did. I mean, we got to meet her a few times, and she was just, you know, she remembered us, so which was really cool.
Michelle Beadle was so right.
Oh, stop it. Giving me garbage now. Okay, cash. Okay, cash man. I'm not gonna have to go start registering every time I move. Okay.
Hey.
Okay. So
how we started this broadcast on Facebook Live.
Yeah. Sorry. Every news. Let's talk about some other news. The WWE quarterly earnings came out this week, and they announced that they had 1.507 million paid subscribers as of September 30th, 2017, which is down from June 30th. But it's only down by 0.61 million, so it's like
they're seeing it as like a seasonal thing, because you'll get your buy rate up right around WrestleMania when they offer the free month or whatever, and everybody wants to see Mania, and then it drops back down the other half of the year, and they're I guess like just dealing with it.
It seems like that's how they do these giveaways. The free month is they say, and you'll get these pay per views in this free month. You know, they try to use that as leverage to getting people to sign up. And it's like, you're probably right there, but it's like, it's $9.99 a month. It's not, you know, I swear I can find in my couch cushions that amount of change, you know? So it's like, not that I'm saying everyone can get it, but it's like, that you also have to have high speed internet, of course.
And even though house show attendance is down and network subscribers are down and all that kind of good stuff, they're still making more money than they were based on the fact that they cut costs a ton.
Oh yeah, no more. You may notice no more of pyros as people are coming out.
I'm sure we'll get them at like WrestleMania.
Yeah, but I've noticed that, you know, like AJ used to have pyros. Nope, they aren't coming out anymore. And he kind of worked them into his open with the way he comes out and poses. A lot of people do that too. You know, it's like waiting for the explosions to happen that don't happen anymore. So it's like, but you know, it saves them money. They don't have to have a pyrotechnician traveling around with them setting up explosives and everything. So. Yeah, they've cut some costs that way, and it's like
you cut, you know, what programs they put on the network. They're not paying for as much, and
true stuff like that. I mean, you know, and they're trying to stick with all their homegrown. And for the longest time, they were talking about doing some independents on the network, and they still have. We haven't seen anything yet. That's been like the last year they've been talking about that, finding a couple independent groups and having independent wrestling. But and maybe they see that counterintuitive to the product by showing people that eventually you will see. But I think they also want to own the rights to everything, and that's a hard part too. Nobody's going to sign their company over to the WWE to use their exclusive rights. because then they'll never be able to use him if they don't work with him anymore. So, you know, it's like, it's kind of, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of sticky things in getting independence.
Can we get some more of the UK guys back?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, where have they been? I mean,
I was just going to say, you know what I would, again, I love playing fantasy booking. Know what I would love to see happen at Survivor Series when you got Team SmackDown going against Team Raw? I want to see a total interference mess up, just destroy both teams from NXT guys and UK guys.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, Team NXT. That would be awesome. I mean, man, you could work it in, too. I think that, you know.
Well, you got the Undisputed Era. I mean, they're, you know, going to have that War Games match the night before. They might be a little banged up, but, you know, we haven't really talked about it lately, and it's coming up here soon on November 7th. We got the Ric Flair 30 for 30 coming out.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And the trailer is out on ESPN, and it's going to be fantastic.
And in fact, he's even done some stuff recently for it, too.
Yeah, he's talking about his health scare and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and, you know, Danger Boy brings it up. You know, we are also celebrating our 19th year here on WHTK on the week after that. Technically November 13th, 1998. So it'll be 19 years in the next couple of days. We have to have a party or something, you know, or I don't know, some sort of significance. I think, you know, DC's birthday is coming up. We can make
someone
it all
bring into a cake.
One big thing. Oh, that'd be great.
We haven't had a cake in, what was it, 14th year I think we got a cake?
Yeah, that was a beautiful cake that we had. We had at Salvatore's, and that was awesome.
I made pie a couple years ago.
You did make pie, yeah. I'll make cookies, but, you know, we are going to celebrate 19. If we make it to 20, that'll be a big one, you know. So 19 is
what? 19 will drink Canadian beer.
Yeah, that's right. Now, Pain Clinic will be old enough to go over to Canada and have a few brews, adult beverages. And, you know, that's pretty, you know, wow, that just makes me feel old. Sorry. Just thinking about it. It's like, yeah, I remember day one and we were so nervous and, you know, the day.
I remember before day one going to meet in Goldberg.
I remember the day one show. It's like, we had been putting the phone number on a TV commercial for it. And so the phones were like exploding before we even went on the air.
I want to talk to my favorite wrestler.
Yeah, I know. That was the line on the commercial was talk to your favorite wrestlers.
Let me talk to Stone Cold.
1280 star 1280, and it's like, and so it's like we felt that we had to change that after a while because none of your favorite wrestlers are actually in the studio
unless it's a slam line.
Well, I always would say Dr. Love was my favorite wrestler. Yeah, we used to have a slam line. People would call up and leave us messages. Just some unbelievable things.
Directions to backyard wrestling shows.
Yeah, I love that stuff. I mean,
those guys went on to become actual wrestlers.
Yeah, it's absolutely hilarious. Some of the stuff from when we first started, and I was clueless to the independent scene here in town. Absolutely clueless at that time. I had no idea that any of that stuff was going on. And it really wasn't legally. I mean, they were doing backyard stuff and everything. But
yeah, there wasn't much going on, and then that changed.
Yeah, I'm reminiscing too much. But that's coming up in another couple weeks. So we get Ric Flair's 30 for 30, and then we have the Pain Clinic's 19th birthday, and then we have Survivor Series weekend. And we're going to actually, is it the 11th? The show that we're doing on the 11th is going. We're going to have, I think, Eric Emanon and JC Money up in the studio because they're going to be wrestling that
Friday.
How are
we going to separate them?
That's always the question. You know, it's like. But
I'm going to talk to JC and have him bring Eminon's belt.
Yeah, I was going to say we might be able to negotiate a peaceful exchange.
Oh, I don't want him to give it back.
No. I have a feeling that Facebook Live might be very interesting to watch that day. I think it would be, you know, and we're going to keep trying to do this as we can, but I don't know if you guys have been watching the past half hour, but we're just about done here for the day. We've got, like I said, the high school show coming up next, UB football later in the day, but I'm trying to think, is there any other news that I missed? Oh, you know what? For those of you who are the Total Divas fans, their season premiere is Wednesday, November 1st.
Oh, thank God.
At 9 p.m., of course, you get the Bella Twins, Naomi, Maryse, Lana, and Natalya, alongside new cast members, Nia Jax, Carmella, Alexa Bliss.
And okay, I'll tune in for Alexa Bliss.
It says the season 7 finale will mark the 100th episode of the successful series. Now, that sounds like a press release because is it really successful? I guess it's success enough to be still on TV, but it's not, you know, it's not pulling these gigantic numbers or anything, but
nothing pulls gigantic numbers anymore.
No. But thank you so much for tolerating us for the past hour and a half. We're going to get out of here. We're going to go. I got to go find Maria. I got to give her some kisses.
And creepy of it.
Yep.
Tell her she smells good.
She smells good. But we got coming up in just a minute here, we've got the high
school. Mike is going to sit there and watch.
The high school. Some people like that, I hear. We got the high school, Connors and Ferris High School sports show coming up.
It's like a new line of Bailey shirts. I'm a watcher.
We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening to the Pain Clinic. We're out of here.